In these last days, the Bible predicts a turning away from biblical truth. In order to combat false teachings that are running rampant and a growing lack of biblical literacy, Behold Israel provides weekly public readings of Scripture to equip you with the pure Word of God, read in an international community with interaction and application. Each week, we host different guests from all walks of life. Original readings can be found on our Behold Israel community channel on YouTube or on our Facebook channel. These are audio versions created to make it convenient for your busy schedule. Now, on to our readings.
Hey, shalom everyone. Welcome to another public reading of Scripture here on Thursday, May 29th. My name is Jason Comans here from Behold Israel. I'm on the West Coast, USA. Thanks for tuning in from wherever you're from or if you're watching this later. We welcome you as well. What a blessing that the word can go forth to the nations with such streamlined technology in the days in which we live. This evening, we're going to pick up our reading plan in the books of Ezra and Acts. And actually, we're going to conclude the book of Ezra this evening with Ezra chapters 9 and 10. Allow me to pray before we dive into the word. Our Father, we thank you for another opportunity to spend time together in your word from remote places all over the world, Lord, as one body, one mind, one spirit of truth. We ask now as we open your holy word that your word would go forth and pierce us, convict us, transform us, change us, challenge us, but also may we experience your truth in a new way. That your word would not be received as mundane or void, for it is not, but it is powerful, it is living, it is active, and we learn so much from history, especially the Israel's history, which we're going to be looking at this evening as we conclude the book of Ezra. Lord, and also just the heritage of the church, the early days through the missionary journeys of Paul and the other apostles, his ministry partners, God, and just seeing some of the foundations of the early stages of the church and how they can enhance our faith today. So we ask for your blessing over this time, not only for those who are tuning in live, but also those who will hear this later. In Jesus' name, amen. Once again, we read from the New King James Version, just to keep it consistent week by week. We'll be in the book of Ezra to kick things off this evening. So let me begin with Ezra chapter 9. When these things were done, the leaders came to me saying, "The people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the peoples of the lands with respect to the abominations of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites. For they have taken some of their daughters as wives for themselves and their sons, so that the holy seed is mixed with the peoples of those lands. Indeed, the hand of the leaders and rulers has been foremost in this trespass." So when I heard this thing, I tore my garment and my robe and plucked out some of the hair of my head and beard and sat down astonished. Then everyone who trembled at the words of the God of Israel assembled to me because of the transgression of those who had been carried away captive, and I sat astonished until the evening sacrifice. At the evening sacrifice, I arose from my fasting, and having torn my garment and my robe, I fell on my knees and spread out my hands to the Lord, my God. Spiritual people take sin very seriously. And I said, "Oh my God, I am too ashamed and humiliated to lift up my face to you." Have you ever been there? "My God, for our iniquities have risen higher than our heads, and our guilt has grown up to the heavens. Since the days of our fathers to this day, we have been very guilty, and for our iniquities, we, our kings, and our priests have been delivered into the hand of the kings of the lands, to the sword, to captivity, to plunder, and to humiliation, as it is this day. And now, for a little while, grace has been shown from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape, and to give us a peg in his holy place, that our God may enlighten our eyes and give us a measure of revival in our bondage. For we were slaves, yet our God did not forsake us in our bondage, but he extended mercy to us in the sight of the kings of Persia to revive us, to repair the house of our God, to rebuild its ruins, and to give us a wall in Judah and Jerusalem. And now, O our God, what shall we say after this? For we have forsaken your commandments, which you commanded by your servants the prophets, saying, the land which you are entering to possess is an unclean land, with the uncleanness of the peoples of the lands, with their abominations which have filled it from one end to another with their impurity. Now, therefore, do not give your daughters as wives for their sons, nor take their daughters to your sons, and never seek their peace or prosperity, that you may be strong and eat the good of the land and leave it as an inheritance to your children forever. And after all that has come upon us for our evil deeds and for our great guilt, since you, our God, have punished us less than our iniquities deserve and have given us such deliverance as this, should we again break your commandments and join in marriage with the people committing these abominations? Would you not be angry with us until you had consumed us so that there would be no remnant or survivor? O Lord God of Israel, you are righteous, for we are left as a remnant as it is this day. Here we are before you in our guilt, though no one can stand before you because of this. Ezra chapter 10. Now while Ezra was praying and while he was confessing, weeping, and bowing down before the house of God, a very large assembly of men, women, and children gathered to him from Israel, for the people wept very bitterly. And Shechaniah, the son of Yehiel, one of the sons of Elam, spoke up and said to Ezra, we have trespassed against our God and have taken pagan wives from the peoples of the land, yet now there is hope in Israel in spite of this. Now, therefore, let us make a covenant with our God to put away all these wives and those who have been born to them, according to the advice of my master and of those who tremble at the commandment of our God, and let it be done according to the law. Arise, for this matter is your responsibility. We also are with you. Be of good courage and do it. Then Ezra arose and made the leaders of the priests, the Levites, and all Israel swear an oath that they would do according to this word. So they swore an oath. Then Ezra rose up from before the house of God and went into the chamber of Jehohanan, the son of Eliashib. And when he came there, he ate no bread and drank no water, for he mourned because of the guilt of those from the captivity. And they issued a proclamation throughout Judah and Jerusalem to all the descendants of the captivity that they must gather at Jerusalem, and that whoever would not come within 3 days, according to the instructions of the leaders and elders, all his property would be confiscated, and he himself would be separated from the assembly of those from the captivity. So all the men of Judah and Benjamin gathered at Jerusalem within 3 days. It was the ninth month on the 20th of the month, and all the people sat in the open square of the house of God, trembling because of this matter and because of heavy rain. Then Ezra the priest stood up and said to them, you have transgressed and have taken pagan wives, adding to the guilt of Israel. Excuse me, I lost my spot. Where did I go? Ah, found it. Verse 11. Now, therefore, make confession to the Lord God of your fathers and do his will. Separate yourselves from the peoples of the land and from pagan wives, the pagan wives. Then all the assembly answered and said with a loud voice, yes, as you have said, so we must do. But there are many people. It is the season for heavy rain, and we are not able to stand outside. Nor is this the work of 1 or 2 days, for there are many of us who have transgressed in this matter. Please let the leaders of our entire assembly stand, and let all those in our cities who have taken pagan wives come at appointed times, together with the elders and judges of their cities, until the fierce wrath of our God is turned away from us in this matter. Only Jonathan, the son of and Yahaziah, the son of Tikvah, opposed this, and Meshulam and Shabbatai, the Levite, gave them support. Then the descendants of the captivity did, and Ezra the priest, with certain heads of the father's households, were set apart by the father's households, each of them by name. And they sat down on the first day of the 10th month to examine the matter. By the first day of the first month, they finished questioning all the men who had taken pagan wives. And among the sons of the priests who had taken pagan wives, the following were found of the sons of Yeshua, the son of Yozadak, and his brothers Maaseiah, Eleazar, Yarib, and Gedaliah. And they gave their promise that they would put away their wives, and being guilty, they presented a ram of the flock as their trespass offering. Also, of the sons of Imer, Hanani and Zebediah, of the sons of Harim, Maaseiah, Elijah, Shemaiah, Yehiel, and Uzziah. Of the sons of Pashur, Maaseiah, Ishmael, Yozabad, and Elasa. Also of the Levites, Yozabad, Shimei, Keleah, the name is Kelita, Pethahiah, Judah, and Eleazar. Also of the singers, Eliashib, and of the gatekeepers, Shalum, Talem, and Uri, or Uri. And others of Israel, of the sons of Parosh, Ramiah, Yeziah, Malkiah, Miyamin, Eleazar, Malkiah, and Benaiah. Of the sons of Elam, Mataniah, Zechariah, Yahiel, Abdi, Yerimoth, and Eliah. Of the sons of Zatu, Mataniah, Yerimoth, Zabad, and Aziza. Of the sons of Babai, Yehohanan, Hananiah, Zabai, and Athlai. Of the sons of Shial and Ramoth. Of the sons of Pahath Moab, Adna, Shelal, Benaiah, Maaseiah, Mataniah, Bazalel, Benui, and Manasseh. Of the sons of Harim, Eleazar, Ishiah, Shemaiah, and Shimeon, Benjamin, Maluk, and Shemariah. Of the sons of Hashum, Matanai, Matata, Zabad, Aliphelet, Yeremai, Manasseh, and Shimei. Of the sons of Bani, Uth, Eliashib, Mataniah, Matanai, Yaasai, Bani, Benui, Shimei, Nathan, Adiah, Machnadebai, Shashai, Sharai, Azarel, Shelemiah, Shalom, Amariah, and Yosef. Of the sons of Nebo, Yad, Zabina, Yadai, Yoel, and Benaiah. All these had taken pagan wives, and some of them had wives by whom they had children. Some of you are probably listening and you're like, wow, 5 minutes went by before he said another English word. Sorry. You know, what's interesting is these genealogies and these, not just genealogies, but this record of descendants really validates the historical truths of the Bible. They're so important. That concludes our reading of the book of Ezra. And before we go over to the book of Acts and pick up in chapter 18, just thinking about Ezra, put yourself in Ezra's shoes as this priest who had set his heart to read, obey, and teach the law of God, and really help lead towards the reform and repentance of the people of Israel. Put yourself in his shoes. The nation had just come back from 70 years in Babylon. Daniel's prayer in the book of Daniel, chapter 9, and the Lord starts to reveal to Daniel the future of the people. And Daniel knows that Judah is going to return to the promised land eventually after this captivity. This incredible journey to get back happens. Prophecies fulfilled. You're back in the land. And now, even after the captivity, Ezra's confronted with the same sin of his, the same old sins of his people, which led to their downfall. And Ezra's crushed over it. And if I were to surmise all of this, spiritual or spiritually mature people take sin seriously, not only in their own lives, but in the lives of those they care about, in the lives of other people. And they want to see them reform. They desire to see them reform back to how God desires them to be. Ezra had a heart for others. And not only Ezra, when you look throughout the Old Testament and you see these different leaders of Israel who are sinners themselves, but when they care about the nation, they care about the law of God, they take the sin of their people very seriously. I think it's a very profound thing. And they don't just take it seriously, but they act on that conviction. Let's pray for Israel right now before we pick up in the book of Acts. Lord, we thank you for the fulfillment of promises. We thank you that for the days in which we live. And it's an amazing reality to know that the Israel that exists today is emphatically, without question, the Israel of the Bible. And Lord, for the people who are the Christians, I pray for that those now within the church who are trying to understand when they use the term biblical Israel, and they're trying to distinguish between the biblical account of Israel and the Israel they know of in the world today, and they have a hard time associating them. Oh Lord, help them to see that the most dangerous thing they could do is disassociate them from the Israel of the Bible. For your people are in your land, just as you foretold that they would be, despite their sin and imperfections. God, we live in incredible times. And we're thankful that while they seem uncertain at times, we know that they're certain from your eternal perspective. And we pray for the people of Israel today that in their affliction, they would earnestly seek you. Lord, that the body of Christ in Israel, the remnant, would continue to flourish, continue to reach the heart of people, whether they're secular Israelis or religious Israelis. The need is the same, and that's reconciliation to the Father through the sacrifice of his Son, Jesus, Yeshua. In Jesus' name, amen. Please go with me now over to the book of Acts, our final chapter for the evening, Acts chapter 18. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome, and he came to them. So because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for by occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. But when they opposed him and blasphemed, he shook his garments and said to them, "Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." And he departed from there and entered the house of a certain man named Justus, one who worshipped God, whose house was next door to the synagogue. Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision, "Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city." And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. When Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews with one accord rose up against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, "This fellow persuades men to worship God contrary to the law." And when Paul was about to open his mouth, Gallio said to the Jews, "If it were a matter of wrongdoing or wicked crimes, O Jews, there would be reason why I should bear with you. But if it is a question of words and names and your own law, look to it yourselves, for I do not want to be a judge of such matters." And he drove them from the judgment seat. Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. But Gallio took no notice of these things. So Paul still remained a good while. Then he took leave of the brethren and sailed for Syria, and Priscilla and Aquila were with him. He had his hair cut off at Cenchrea, for he had taken a vow. And he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to stay a longer time with them, he did not consent, but took leave of them, saying, I must by all means keep this coming feast in Jerusalem, but I will return again to you, God willing. And he sailed from Ephesus. And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and greeted the church, he went down to Antioch. After he had spent some time there, he departed and went over the region of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace, for he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing them from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. So it's amazing, because I think it's so cool to look throughout the transitional stage of the church in the book of Acts to really see how they put to work. You can see the fruits of the Spirit early in the foundation of the church age, seeing, looking here in the rest of the book of Acts, how the church ought to function. And these are such early stages, yet you can see the fruits of the Spirit and how they're to be displayed and how powerful they are when they're put to use, especially when you submit to the leading of the Spirit, which was so critical for these men and women in these early stages of the church, of which you and I are beneficiaries. Something I think is really cool is in this last little portion of this chapter that you see people who desire to disciple, who have the best in mind to disciple others and to see them flourish, do exactly, let me go back and find the verse. When Apollos is teaching, spiritual people do exactly what Aquila and Priscilla do. They pull others aside. They disciple them, not for the mentality of ridicule, but to enhance what the Lord has called this person to. And that's exactly what they did. And I think it's really critical that any spiritual leaders, whether it's you, me, whatever setting we're in, if we need to critique something, if we need to disciple someone, here's a great example of how to do it. They pulled him aside. They equipped him and enabled him even more. And it emboldened his ministry, because you look at how the chapter closes, and it's really fascinating, because what he's doing, you are, and I are just as empowered to do this day. Did you know that you too, from the Old Testament, see, listen, when it says that he refuted vigorously the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ, he's using the Old Testament. He's using the Jewish scriptures that they're accustomed to and they know. And from those scriptures, he's able to show them emphatically that Jesus is the Christ. Did you know that you can do that too? And especially, it's critical to put that to work when you're ministering to and witnessing to Jewish people, to those who don't believe, to religious Jews. Did you know that with their Jewish scriptures, with the Old Testament, you can show them that Jesus is the Christ? I don't know if you've ever seen our founder and president's testimony, Amir Tsarfati's testimony, But he talks about how when he saw the Jesus film, he saw all these Old Testament scriptures coming to life before his eyes. And if you talk to him today, he would tell you, I came to know the Messiah without having understood anything from the New Testament. He understood it all from the Old Testament. And I think that's fascinating. There is very, not only is the Old Testament relevant, it is equally as powerful, and it is ought to be seen as equally powerful as being a tool when it comes to being a tool to be used, not just in witnessing to the world, but especially to the Jew first. Lord, we thank you for the power of your word, its relevance. It never is void. It's never mundane. It's never not timely. It's never irrelevant. We thank you for your eternal truths that we're re-equipped with every time we open your perfect word. We ask that your word would go forth to the nations now. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, thank you. Thank you for tuning in for another public reading of Scripture. We are going to pick up next week. Just a quick update, Amir and Pastor Barry Stagner are just about to conclude their European speaking tour. They were in Germany earlier this week, or rather last Saturday. And then today was day two of discovering Daniel in Netherlands, and it went phenomenal from what I understand. And then this Saturday, they're going to be in Augsbergen, Belgium, doing another awaiting his return, each teaching one message, followed by a time of Q&A before they begin their travels home. So thank you for praying. Please continue to pray for their safety. The next teaching engagements we're going to have as a ministry are going to be July 1st and July 2nd up in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, which both of those are sold out events. But if you're watching this and we're going to see you there, we greatly look forward to meeting you there. And then we have a very busy summer and fall of ministry, but that excites us. We look very much forward to what God is going to do. Have a blessed evening. We'll pick up next week.